I'm tempted to say good afternoon because, well, I've never had a show this late. But for those of you that are not regulars, this is Helmut. And yes, this is pulling heartstrings. I wish I was that good at doing that outside the studio. Well, thanks to Elizabeth, now I have to sit here until the hour of... Actually, I would not be sleeping at 12. I would still most likely be playing video games or, you know, or scrolling through social media and telling myself, you know, just, you know, especially when it comes to video gaming, just one more mission and then I'll sleep and then end up sleeping at 3. Now, my phobia starts from being outside, you know, being anywhere more than a meter away from my bed this time of the night. That's where the phobia now kicks in. So anyway, anything outside of that, for those of you that were waiting the, for the full of energy Elizabeth voice, sorry, disappoint. Now, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to play Elizabeth. At least, well, initially that was my thought until I, you know, I came to the realization that, you know, that would be learning how to, you know, like learning how to drive a beginning with a truck. And now, well, the matriarch is not here. Unfortunately for the future, you know, for the whole idea of the future being female today, you know, the heartstring, pulling heartstrings, future is very much, well, patriarchal. So we are back to square one, you know, at least until by notify you that, well, she's coming back. And she's fine. Thank you very much for asking. So in her absence, she decided to, you know, she figured out what best way to make my life more miserable than, one, asking me to fill in for her. Don't get, you know, don't worry, Lizzie. I got this. Now, she also now, picked the topics that are somewhat very difficult for a comedian to go through 3 hours with a serious face. So, the whole, serious and laughing and, I don't know what you guys do with Elizabeth. Yeah, you're gonna have to put all that on hold because, well, there's a new kid on the block. And, this kid is more sarcasm than seriousness. So that's just some heads up and fasten a seatbelt. Because we're going to be here until 00:00 on the dot. So, in other words, this show starts on Monday and it will be concluded on, you know, I'll be signing out on Tuesday. And now, other than keeping me about 12 kilometers away from my bed as a way of making me miserable, Elizabeth decided to pick a different, she decided that, well, that was not excruciating enough. Then, so, when she, you know, when she contacted me to, you know, to put in a formal request, because I'm a very professional guy, the formal request to do this on her behalf, first of all, she was, she knew I respected her, so she just decided to take advantage of that. Now, I'm gonna, well, get back to her by, you know, figuring out if she, you know, figuring out a way for her to buy me food. I'm, you know, I'm very easy to bribe. You don't need an iPhone with 2 SIM cards or private jet. All you just need is food and I'm, you know, I'm all good. Now, how did she top off the, making my life miserable for, you know, for today and tomorrow? Well, she picked one topic, and that is, so I asked her, what am I going to be talking about on this show, Elizabeth? And it's like, oh, don't worry, I got you one. I have one that I prepared for that day, and you don't have to prepare anything. You just have to take my show and move on with it. And it's like, all right, hand it over. What topic is that? Abortion. I was like, oh man, no, not that one. She was like, yes, that one. So we went back and forth. Not that one. Yes, that one. Not that. So, well, long story short, I lost. So here we are. So, that is how the story of how, that is how the story of how I ended up in this seat in, well, partially lost a bet. So here we are. Now for the next 2 hours and basically for the next 3 hours, I get to sit here and extend that misery from this wonderful studio to wherever it is you are tuned in from. And if you tuned in from this time, I can only assume you are in one of the boring relationships or you're single. But whatever it is, we're not judging. Or you're one of those very awesome relationships, but both of you, I mean, you guys just make a perfect team because you met the right soulmate where both of you just can't stop listening to Eagle FM. And for that, may your love live longer. So, a couple of minutes of rambling was me just trying to point out that today is one of those days where I'm, you know, shoved in the corner and where I have to, I'm told I have to be serious. Okay, all I can tell you when it comes to that is I'll try. I don't want to make promises I can't keep. Now, I will try doesn't mean I'm never going to be serious or I'll always throw sarcasm in your face. I'm just saying I will try. We shall try again the next day. So, on abortion, this is one very interesting. Now, after being basically given the topic, I decided to go, well, basically dive headfirst into pretty much every literature that I could find on the subject. It turns out it's more broader than I thought. Turns out there are also different categorizations coming out of the United Nations, basically the World Health Organization, on different types and because according to the World Health Organization, miscarriage is something that is just as painful because it involves the loss of a pregnancy, and for couples that have been trying to conceive for a very long time can be very painful. Now, I had no idea that miscarriage is somewhat of an unintended and natural, unfortunate circumstances, but that also, according to the World Health Organization, they decided to categorize under abortion. Now, here's the interesting thing is that, many of us, this is something that I also, stole from the World Health Organization. But more often when we talk about abortion, most of us are talking about something known as induced abortion. Now, we are going to get to that in a few. Now, one thing I found fascinating is that, human beings, we are somewhat very fascinating because we have human beings have a love-hate relationship. And when I say love-hate relationship, I mean we can't live without each other, and we have a problem reaching unanimous consensus on a lot of topics. And now, on a lot of topics that we have, you have a problem reaching unanimous consensus on, abortion is just on top of that list. Like, it's way up there. Now, so the love-hate relationship that I came to realize. Now, just to give you a summary of what we're going to be talking about today, we have the love-hate relationship description that I'm going to go through for a couple of minutes. And then we get to defining terms, like what is abortion? And then I will give a few examples that I was able to find out of Yale Medicine and World Health Organization, international organization, human rights, blah, blah, blah. That's the World Health Organization. And you have, Yale Medicine. That is, Yale Medicine. That's one of the, what do they call, pristine high institutions, mostly coming out of the Western world. We're going to get to that. Now, what we're going to start with is the love-hate relationship that human beings have. And I'm talking about human beings with, as a species. I don't care what your skin color, gay, straight, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go through the love-hate relationship and why I'm calling it a love-hate relationship that our species have. And if you are just one of those Eagle FM listeners that is just enjoy listening to Eagle FM, and you find my voice so soothing, Don't worry, it's night, you can fall asleep, and I'll take that as a compliment. And now, moving on. From the love-hate relationship, rumbling. Then we're going to move on to defining terms, where we will define first of all, abortion according to different pieces. According to how it's defined differently, because Namibian law also has its own definition of what that is. So that's this points to the to the unanimous consensus that I pointed out earlier, that we have a problem reaching as a species, and we can't live without each other, and we can't, we have a problem agreeing on one point of agreement, especially on a lot of topics around the world. Although I'm not here to, to solve, to bring about world peace, I'm just here to fill in for a dear friend who owes me a lot of food. Now, so from the love hate, then we will come to the definition of abortion. We'll get one from the World Health Organization, one from Yale Medicine, and one from the Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. That's a Namibian piece of legislation that regulates that that regulates abortion, and it defines a lot of things in detail that we are going to cover, and we have a lot of time ahead of us. Then then we are going to get to some of the points that are being made now with regards to incendiary nature of this discussion. Over why every time it's brought up, it sends a lot of people, fuming through the ears. Now, I decided to come up with an interesting look of taking, first of all, looking at it from a biological standpoint, and looking at it from a, from a legal standpoint, and then, because a lot of people, when they're engaged in this debate, I don't like calling it a debate though, because debate is about who's gonna win and who's gonna lose. There's not a lot of rationality involved in a debate for me, because, which is why I have, with someone who is in the, who has an undying love for the legal fraternity, it's contradictory, but I find debate somewhat very counterproductive, because both sides in a debate walk in there not to to listen to a rational argument. No, they go in there to win. Now, when you look at, let me just speak for me. Every time that I look at debates being practiced at school, I'm like, okay, that's nice. It improves your speech vocabulary, gives you this whole, composure, especially, public speaking and all that. It gives you that. But when it comes to rationality, oh boy, does it go out through the window? Because, you are not arguing to learn. At least that's just my point of view on debate. You are not arguing to learn in a debate. You are arguing to win. In other words, you'll cook up any excuse so that you can win. Because learning is not a priority. Winning is. Which I feel like, that's actually where we get a lot of things wrong. Like, it will do us a lot of good if we just approach a topic for the sake of learning. And also just, understand, like, get into this agreement being mindful of the fact that we may not reach a 100% unanimous consensus. That one is going to believe his own stuff. I'm going to believe my own stuff. But at the end of the day, how can we reach, how can we focus on what is, what we have in common? Because that's what a society thrives on. Not division. Now, unfortunately for us, we have a lot of things that we don't agree on. We can look at, this, and this is not just coming from, from a health biological perspective. You have this coming from religion. You have this coming from politics. Oh my God, politics is the worst. And politics, religion, same WhatsApp group. Because So it becomes a power thing. You know, I have to dominate this discussion so I emerge victorious. So now you have both sides, and none of them is willing to compromise. I deserve this win. That one is saying, I deserve this win. How about we just leave that for soccer? And bless you, Man U supporter, then. Congratulations. I know a few Man U guys that are going to murder me after this. So if you are a Man U supporter, relax. Your job will be done for you. Now, when it comes to, there are two main things that we are going to define in this discussion. One is abortion using different pieces of literature, international international to national here. And then we are going to define, what are some of the pro points that are stated by the people that are for? That speak for abortion, and what are some of the points that are made by people that are against abortion? Are they talking about this from a biological standpoint, from a legal standpoint, from a religious standpoint, from a cultural standpoint? Because we all have our different, our different source of literature that lays the foundation, the foundation of the argument we make in every single debate. Again, we are there with the debate. Biology has a different definition of life. So biology's definition of life is different from the legal definition of life. In biology, life begins, I don't know where, million years ago, Big Bang, blah, 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 long story. But the law of persons is very technical in a way that it defines life. So these two, on the other hand, I've been through that debate before. It's one of those questions that I remember asking my family law lecturer discussion of abortion basically came up while we were defining, law of persons. You have to define what a person is. If you have had companies being described as juristic persons, that's also where you find that. And then you have human beings like you and me, human beings that can tune into Eagle FM, thank you very much, in the middle of the night. Those are the people that are classified under natural persons. That's basically the summary of what we are going to be covering, and it's a lot. And thank heavens for me, I still have 2 hours and 39 minutes left. There are not a lot of creatures on this planet that can survive solo. There are not a lot. A tiger, if I'm not mistaken, is one of them. Tigers are solitary creatures. So, in other words, friends is not something they are very good at. There are a lot of animals in the animal kingdom that only meet for mating purposes, and then, they just meet for mating purposes and then call it a day. Until next mating season. Goodbye. Now, human beings, on the other hand, falls under the category of living organisms that are classified under the category of social creatures. In other words, we need each other. We don't want each other. We need each other. We can't survive without each other. Despite all the disagreements, both on a both on a family level, friendship level, intimate or platonic, on a national level, on an international level, despite all these disagreements, one thing that we can all agree on is that we cannot live without each other. We just can't. We don't know how to do that. Take a person, put them, that's why in prisons, solitary confinement is considered a punishment. What is solitary confinement? Well, you are basically separated from what you'd call civilization, at least the equivalent of what would be civilization for someone that's locked up. That does some serious psychological damage for you. The irony is, solitary confinement was first intended to, was first thought of and was first invented solitary confinement as a form of correction of what you'd call a correctional, method or rehabilitation method in confined spaces, aka prisons, was invented to sort of like help people get in touch with the, you're talking about a time when religion was considered the ultimate authority of pretty much everything life. So, when solitary confinement was, as an idea first came to be, they would take a person who is, seen as unruly, in prison and then throw them, isolate them from the rest and then give them, the good book. Bible. And then, so that they can read that book and reflect on their, on what they did and basically come to the realization that what they did was wrong. And they quickly found out that solitary confinement was not a method of rehabilitation. It was, it was more punishing than they knew, at least psychologically. And then they found out that, solitary confinement does psychological damage because human beings need interactions. Not want, need interactions. Human beings need interactions. So, in other words, we can't live without each other. And so, we don't have a choice but to live with each other. So, the more we are brought together, and thanks to technology, again, we now have coined terms like global village. So we are being brought together, closer together more and more thanks to the advancement of technology. So now this coming together, so now you have invention of social media. Well, we're the only animals with social media. Because that's how much we like touch. People get scammed by people halfway across the planet, pretending to be who they are not because of the, because they seek companionship. A lot of people fall for a lot of scams, especially romantic scams. It's a multi-billion dollar scamming industry. And the reason why that happens basically goes to show just how much we human beings are not very good at doing, at living life alone. We are very terrible at that. Now, you have introverts, and you have introverts that are, five sentences of you just greeting them. They are already praying for you to leave. Even they have to go out from time to time. A lot of people that will tell you that they are introvert, they never leave the house, spend a lot of time on social media or playing video games. Again, there is an entire community on all across the internet, across a lot of social media platforms where you can communicate with a lot of people. Just be careful. Don't fall for the Nigerian prince with a lot of money scam. Now, in the world of romantic scam, it's very easy for us to come to, looking at the world of romantic scheme, it's very easy to come to the realization that, yes, human beings, we can't live without each other. So, we are not left with a lot of choices, but to live with each other. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there then comes the problem. To live with each other, we both, we're very diverse. That's one thing I like about, I like about the human race. We're diverse. You have people with different skin colors, different religions, different cultural practices, different languages. With all this diversity, then comes a lot of disagreements, not problems, which is normal. I don't want to call it problems. I just want to call it disagreements. Pardon me. With all this, then comes a lot of disagreements. And abortion is just one of those disagreements where you have, a lot of people hold a lot of different point of views on one subject where you have a lot of, where you have a lot of heat being generated by a lot of disagreements coming from different point of views. So, you're not only considering this from a different cultural or different religious or different, or more like different unreligious or whatever the equivalent of religious is. Now you have also a lot of different, you have people in the legal fraternity telling you that this is how we should define a person according to the law, and you have people that are coming out of biology that are telling you that, or more like a evolutionary biology or whatever branch of the field of biology, that are also saying this is how we must define life. So now you have a problem. Whose definition are we going to take? When it comes to some topics, it's very easy to reach a unanimous consensus. But for some, it turns out it's not that easy. Now, back in 2018, the Daily Mail, which is a UK-based media house. Quoted, at least the one that I'm quoting, had a UK, somewhere in their URL and, in their description. Now, back in 2018, the Daily Mail quoted the tweet of the world-renowned evolutionary biologist and militant atheist Richard Dawkins. Now, Richard Dawkins said something that a lot of people, including yours truly here, don't actually agree with. Now, disagreeing is not a crime. It's called discourse. Commercial break.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
There we go. Now, so, welcome back to Pulling Heartstring with really? Those are the words I never thought I'd say. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with Helmut. Nah, that doesn't sound right. Okay, that's the mind the gap of creeping in. So back to the militant atheist Richard Dawkins and his controversial point of view that he made on Twitter of all places in 2018. Of course, it's going to be Twitter. I mean, what do you mean of all places? That Richard Dawkins said that suggested that eating human flesh, although with a prior agreement arrangements, in order to it's not that bad. It can be that bad. All you just have to do is, actually, that would be a brilliant idea to sort of like, help people get over the whole perception that eating one species is a taboo. Now, you have to understand, did I mention that those words are coming from, an evolutionary biologist? So this is this is a former professor. He's former now. So this is someone who is very academically accomplished. He's one of those people that, which is why I pointed out earlier that he's a militant atheist. He's one of the world-renowned atheists. At least he's the world-renowned atheist that I know. More often, Professor Dawkins, or more like former Professor Dawkins, have engaged in a lot of, a lot of debate about, a religious debate with one, I think, John Lennox of Oxford University, Oxford or Cambridge. Professor John Lennox is a professor of philosophy and mathematics. Richard Dawkins is an evolutionary biologist. These two have been engaged in a lot of debates about the you know, about, you know, the existence of a higher power as it's being referred to by a lot of verbosity English speakers. Now, these are a bunch of very somewhat interesting debates that you can just find on, you know, that you can just find on YouTube. So, I feel like, you know, this is where I now come back to the point that I made earlier that, one very smart Balanu told me that you know pointed out to me something that I found something that I found interesting that something that's very mind tickling, you know, it gets you thinking that every time that you're engaged in a discussion with someone, don't look, don't aim to convince, because you're not talking to a toddler, you're talking to an adult. Just present your point of view, and then they will make their conclusion based on what you are saying. Unless we are talking about, going out there with a car and then running people over, then that's just nuts. Now, even if you look at it from that direction, if you tell someone not to drive a car in a crowd full of people, if you are talking to someone who is just a world deranged, have a Jeffrey Dahmer type of thinking capacity, you are not going to convince them otherwise. Now, back from that terrible example. Now, the reason why I would actually counter Richard Dawkins' point of view of eating, when Richard Dawkins made reference to eating, eating human flesh, he meant human flesh made in the lab. If we can just get people to start eating human flesh made in the lab, then they will get over the whole, cannibalism is a taboo. Well, the good professor may have missed again another piece of, another piece of work that was produced by just his fellow, and this was produced in the 1950s. Now, as an evolutionary biologist, he should have known this, that, the fore or four, depending on how it's pronounced, I have no idea really. This is a tribe. This is a tribe in the, in Papua New Guinea. Not Equatorial Guinea, not Guinea-Conakry, not Guinea-Bissau, Papua New Guinea. That's the Papua New, that's the Guinea that's not in Africa. The rest of the Guineas are in Africa. Don't ask. Long story. Now, let's just humor the good professor here. Now, other pieces of literature actually will, beg to differ with the good professor's point of view that eating human flesh, it's just fine to eat human flesh as a human being. If you're a lion, sure, go nuts. I mean, what was he doing in your house? But if you're a human being, that may be a bad idea, because back in the 1950s, there was a tribe called the Fore that a scientist came across, and they suffered from a disease known as Kuru, aka the trembling and laughing disease, because victims that died from this disease, as they approached their demise, they lost their mobility and bursted into some uncontrollable laughter. I don't think I can maintain a straight face, I'm just visiting my homie at the clinic, and then he's, instead of just a flat lining silent, he starts laughing, and I mean, chances are very high. I know that if that happens to me, my homies are just stupid enough to join me in that laughter. They know I'm dying. They would just be like, okay, now, well, at least he's telling us his last joke. Coming back. The scientists that came across the Fore people in the 1950s in Papua New Guinea found out that the people the Kuru disease was being caused by the funerary. I'm still trying to pronounce that word. The funerary practice of the Fore people, because they had a tradition of, they had a tradition of eating the brain of their dearly departed. Yikes. I mean, I know we're friends, but, no, thank you. I mean, I'll stick to Kapana. Thank you very much. Now, for these people, they had a tradition of, you know, they had a tradition of eating their dearly departed. And for that, they ended up with a type of protein that is still not understood by science today. And that protein is known as prions or prions, or depending on whether you're British or American. Prions are type of proteins that are, at least they are classified as such, but unlike other proteins, they are devoid of DNA, but they do multiply, which is actually mind-boggling for a lot of biologists, including yours truly, Richard Dawkins here. Because for something organic to multiply, it must have DNA, except prions multiply, but they don't. Except not the DNA that has been found yet. In the same way with eels. Eels are this, you know, sluggish, snake-ish type of marine creature that we don't know, you know, to this day. Not a single scientist will tell you how eels multiply. Because they don't have a single reproductive organ. Not a single one. And a lot of research has been done to try to find a reproductive organ of an eel. Nada. And a lot of them have been kept in captivity. When they are kept in captivity, they don't breed. Which is somewhat mind-boggling for scientists. Coming back to Professor Dawkins here. So you can either be on the side of Professor Dawkins human meat is just meat. You can just eat. But then the report coming out of the foray people will tell you that, it turns out, a species eating its own species is a bad idea. Now, of course, all these points can just be presented to you and then you take your pick. So now you see the point that I made earlier that, human beings, we can't live without each other, but we have a problem agreeing on one thing, which is totally understandable because according to the Christian religion of a story of creation, human beings were created by God and they were given free will. In other words, go out there. I'm not going to dictate terms. You go out there. You choose whether to follow my rules or not. Albeit, you know, there's a threat of whoever burning fire coming at the end of you not following my rule. And it's a little bit of a catch in there. But anyway. Yeah, so, free will. Now, just look at, you don't have to be baptized and go to church every Sunday, Saturday or Friday or whatever day. Just look at the word free will. Now, when you look at free will, you can easily begin to go with, okay, so why would an all powerful God make a tragic mistake like that? Because, well, thanks to free will, now I can decide to say, no, you don't exist. Ouch. That must hurt. But anyway, if you are Christian, thanks to that free will, now here we are, we can agree on a single thing. Yeah. We can. Not a single topic. Now, let's get to the defining of terms. That was one heck of a tangent. Oh, let's take a break. And on the other side, we're going to come back and then we start defining terms. If you just tuned in and if you have drifted off, thank you very much. I like the compliment of you falling asleep to my voice. Even if you fell asleep because it was boring as a heck, I will take it as a compliment that my voice is so soothing, it helped you fall asleep. If you're still listening and you find the subject catchy, thank you very much. I'm here until the hour of 12. Today is Monday. I'm here until Tuesday. And we are going to take a break. On the other side, we now get to defining terms of today's topic. So that was a status. From here, we are going to get to the pre-main course, main course, and then dessert. You stay tuned. Pulling heartstrings with Elizabeth. I'm not putting Helm in there. Well, because I've just never been good at pulling her. Okay, should give myself credit. Uh-oh.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. We continue. Oh, hang on a second. I'm getting compliments here. Okay. Now, I don't care what the rest of you will say. Elizabeth is telling me that I'm killing it, so I'll continue to murder it. So we move on to defining terms. Thanks, Lizzie. So now let's get to defining terms. One that is abortion. So let's start from outside, then we bring it home. Now, shall we? According to Yale Medicine, one of those schools called schools. Now that's Yale, not Yale. I had someone, definitely not me, who started pronouncing Yale University as Yale University. Just to repeat and make things clear. That was never me. Now, Yale Medicine defines abortion as the termination of a pregnancy before the fetus can survive outside the uterus. That's a fancy way of saying, the termination of a pregnancy before the baby is born. Now, that is when the language now, for those that are in the technical world, start going, oh no, it's not a baby, relax. I'm not a doctor. Take any medical advice from me, that's on you. According to Yale Medicine, abortion is defined by Yale Medicine as the termination of pregnancy before the fetus can survive outside the uterus. It can occur. It goes on to point out that it can occur spontaneously, also known as miscarriage, or can be induced intentionally through medical or surgical procedures. Isn't that the same thing? Like medical, well, they are Yale. I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. I mean, they know what they're talking about. So the way that abortion is looked at here is, at least by Yale, one of the, I swear the day that I will catch this word. Uh, Yeah. Un momento, s'il vous plaît. Yeah. There we go. Ivy League. Whatever that means, don't ask me. There are two main divisions that we'll find already here in the definition from Yale. That abortion can occur spontaneously, also known as miscarriage. Now, until Yale pointed that out, I thought abortion, as you know, in a common definition that we understand it today, is the termination of pregnancy. Although I'll come back, you know, get back with a few definitions after that. I thought that was the only abortion. It turns out, it seems to me like in medical lingo, miscarriage is also falls under the category of abortion because if you look at the definition coming out of Yale as as the termination of a pregnancy, it doesn't say whether the termination is intentional termination or it's a natural. Wait, there's something like that? I have no idea. Now, the thing is, the termination of pregnancy before the fetus can survive outside the uterus. And I know what you're saying. I came across a bunch of videos of people saying, unless you have a uterus, you can't talk about abortion. Really? That's the direction we're going? You're not a mechanical engineer. You can't talk about cars. Nice. Oh, let's go. We're doing this. So if you don't know how to cook, you can't tell a waiter like how to prepare food. Well, you must first know how to cook. And, if you don't know how to drive, it doesn't matter how terrible the driver is driving. Don't give them instruction because, you're not a driver. Now you see the problem in this debate, which is why let's replace the word debate with discourse. Because again, debates have a very negative connotation if you ask me, because people go there with the intention to win, not to learn. No, to win. If you ask me, that's a problem with religion today. Everyone is telling you, you are 100% wrong and I am 100% sure that you are 100% wrong. Therefore, I'm the only one who is 100% right. Really? Okay. Now, let's have the proof that's giving you that 100% certainty that you are 100% right. Well, there is this book. Oh, come on, man. Serious. Let's not start there. But, that was a Yale that gave us a glimpse into the whole defining of terms. Now, World Health Organization, step up. What is abortion? Menier WHO. Now, the World Health Organization defines, they have a definition of abortion similar to one that of, you know, one of, you know, I mean, similar in a way, in a sense that it's broad. That's the definition of abortion. But one thing about the World Health Organization is that they basically narrow it down on what is commonly, what comes to a lot of our minds when we hear the word abortion. That's what, that's where they basically just dive in and try to look at it from. All right. From that broad definition of abortion. They take out induced abortion. Now that induced abortion is what a lot of us, what comes to the mind of a lot of us when we hear the word abortion. So let's get to it now, shall we? The WHO defines induced abortion. Abortion as the deliberate interruption. Now, this is where the intentional now comes in. And this is why we, it keeps taking us to that abortion discussion of, the picture that we most of us get in our heads, for those of us that are not medically trained, the picture that we get in our heads of abortion, that is a, turns out that is what is a, described by WHO as induced abortion. Now that is the bone of contention, not abortion itself, not abortion in general. That's just broad. Now that's the WHO defines abortion as induced abortion as the deliberate interruption of an ongoing pregnancy by medical or surgical means. Now this is the first thing that that's basically the first thing that comes to our minds every time we we hear the word abortion. But moving on, and then here now comes in my favorite part of the day. Namibia. Now, everything pertaining to abortion in the land of the brave, like I pointed out earlier, is regulated by the Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. I knew abortion was regulated. I did not know sterilization was regulated. Did not know that at all. But I should have known that, because we have contraceptive contraceptive meds and procedures. So I think contraceptive pills falls under sterilization, albeit temporarily, and then you have permanent ones like vasectomy, for example. I mean, just say castration. Come on, serious. Oh, sorry, Lizzie. Moving on. According to the Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975, the act this is why I found this act now somewhat confusing. So, Abortion and Sterilization Act, what is abortion? Oh, you're gonna love this. Abortion is the abortion of a live fetus as a woman with of a live fetus of a woman with intent to kill such fetus. The moment I came across that definition, I was like, okay, this should be fun. Oh dear Lord. Now, because this is huge. Because of the technical lingo in that line is loaded. I actually understand why the two camps in pro and anti, or pro or against, pro or against abortion. By that I mean induced abortion, because you don't have control over over miscarriage. That just happens under very unfortunate circumstances. But induced abortion, this is where you say, take for example someone who was because that's one of the most example that was used that's used in this that's in a bunch of literatures. But someone who is actually and it's also a reference under the conditions in which abortion is allowed in Namibia. Yes, it is. Don't ask me. Don't worry. We still have 2 hours and 3 minutes. The act defines abortion as the abortion. This thing needs amendment. What do you mean is the abortion of abortion? Oh, come on, seriously. You're running out of English? Yes. I have someone behind bars for Fisherot who would help you with a lot of vocabulary to fix that, lack of variation in terms of, grammatical variation. There are two main sections that I found somewhat very interesting in the Abortion and Sterilization Act that I think if you are interested into knowing more, what laws about the laws that regulate abortion in Namibia, you may want to look up Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. And you don't have to read the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing is about 8 pages. You can just read the whole thing. Albeit you have to understand that this is Abortion and Sterilization Act. So it's not entirely, explaining everything abortion. It also has a sterilization part and then the definition and a bunch of, amendments and stuff. Now, section section 2 and 3 came out very I found very interesting, because section 2 talks about a prohibition of abortion. And then section 3 outlines the details, you know, because section 2 talks about prohibition of abortion except for. In other words, they are not saying it's a no go. No, they are just saying it's a no unless under the following circumstances. And then they go on a tangent. Don't worry. Still here to take you through it. So, section two says no person shall procure an abortion otherwise than in accordance with the provision of the act. You better believe everything that's going to come after that is going to reference to medical qualification. Some of us have heard of cases of people that have attempted to carry out that procedure in the privacy of their houses. My sister's high school friend found out, this was I think about somewhere around 2016 or 2017. So she found out she was pregnant, and then she decided, you know what, the father is one of those people that everyone in the village knew. This guy. And for some reason, most strict fathers have daughters. God has a way of punishing people, I swear. Like, why? Oh. Don't worry, I will, you know, keep the mind in check, mind the gap guy in check. Now. Here's what happens then. She found out she was pregnant, and we still actually don't know. I don't think there's anyone that actually knows what she did. And then, she was able to basically expel the fetus. But the thing is, you are basically uprooting something forcefully here. Now, this is the placenta, and anyone that have looked up the placenta, and how it implants in the lining of the uterus. The videos I had to watch today. I'll need therapy tomorrow. This is basically attached to the mother for life. Like literally, not like forever and ever and ever. A fetus while in the baby's belly. A fetus and baby, what kind of medical condition would that be? While in the mother's belly, it depends on the mother for support. For life. Here's a few fun facts. Look up a human heart of a baby. I'm not saying go and get one. There is the internet. Thank you. You never know who is listening these days. People are nuts. Look up how the baby breathes. When you and I breathe, the oxygen we breathe in goes to the lungs, and then it's taken in via blood vessels. The blood that needs oxygen is pumped from your heart to your lungs so that it's given oxygen. So now here's the thing. When a baby is in the mother's belly, if the blood that is pumped goes to the lungs, that baby is gonna drown. Now, imagine what a horrible condition that would be, of having someone drown inside you. Not something you wanna wish on anyone, even your worst enemies. To take care of that, the heart of a baby that's still not yet born is having closed off. The main veins and arteries that goes to the lungs are actually closed off until the baby comes out. So that when the heart pumps, the blood doesn't go to the lungs for oxygen. The blood goes to the mother for oxygen. the blood goes to the placenta for oxygen, not the mother, because I'm told, you know, the blood don't even mix. Biology is fascinating. Now, anyway, back to the, back from that long definition of, back from that long definition and also a whole tangent on my own. Now, let's look at this from a Namibian perspective now, shall we, before we come back to... So, when I was looking for this, Legal Assistance Center came in very handy. Especially when it comes to looking at things from a Namibian perspective. So, un momento, si for playing, because I'm just dropping stuff here. Now, according to the guys by the Legal Assistance Center, the relevant Namibian law that regulates everything related to abortion from a legal standpoint is the Abortion and Sterilization Law Act 2 of 1975. That's something that we've been through already. Inherited from South Africa at independence. Didn't shock me. This law abortions only in these circumstances. Now, like I pointed out earlier, Section 2 points out the prohibition of abortion, and then it's not a closed off system. It gives you, it allows for other circumstances that, you may not have an abortion unless under this and this and these circumstances. And it turns out from 2013, then the good people at Legal Assistance Center now have interesting statistics of the documented, at least documented abortion that you can imagine was done, was done professionally from 2013 all the way to 2019. You had 23 recorded in 2023, in 2013, 19 2014, 13 in 2015, 26 in 2016, and then 19 in 2017, 18 in 2019, and 18 in 2018, and 2019 we broke the record. This was, we're not going to put this on COVID-19, are we? Went to 29. Now, this is, the source is NAMPOL statistics, and that is as required by the Legal Assistance Center. So, let's go to that piece of legislation that governs this, that regulates this now, shall we? Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. You just scroll through all that, gibberish and go straight to section 2. Because section 1 is where you find, the definitions and stuff. That's how all the acts are basically outlined. Section 1 is always definitions, the defining terms. When we say ministry, this is what we mean. When we say act, this is also what we mean. When we say magistrate, this is what we mean. When we say, medical practitioner, this is what we mean. So, let's take two definitions from section one. Definition number one, abortion. Definition number two, medical practitioner. Because it's important to realize that, this is a medical procedure. We defined this. Induced abortion, according to the World Health, according to the World Health Organization, induced, abortion is a deliberate interruption of an ongoing pregnancy by medical and surgical means. That means, medical expertise. If you don't want to end up in a disaster, with a disaster on your hands, you need a medical profession's presence. You want it to be conducted by a professional. Now, here's the thing. Back to my case of the unfortunate cases of a lot of people that have tried to carry out this procedure without allowing the professionals to do it, a lot of people ended up not very good. Like I gave an example of my sister's friend. She lost her life. This is where things become very, very, uncomfortable now for a lot of us Africans, because, one, is creating the environment where your child can tell you the worst of the worst of the news you have ever heard. That's a whole different ballgame, because I can't imagine a lot of African girls out there telling their father that I have a boyfriend, let alone I'm pregnant. Like, holy cow. A lot of fathers will go bananas. I'll give credit to those of, you know, those few that understand that human nature is always going to overpower someone, and sometimes these things are going to happen and you have to figure out a very civil way of handling it. Otherwise, you are going to take the life of your own loved one, and by the time you realize, well, we are listening to your cross-examination. And don't get me wrong, I like cross-examinations. Because, well, there's a lot of comedy that comes in out of cross-examination. And I'm a comedian. So you can't blame me on that one. So, I can imagine, so, anger management, I think. That's, you know, that could come in, you know, handy. Like, that could come a long way. So, since the World Health Organization is describing it as a medical procedure, it's a medical procedure, basically, and this is the same thing that you have coming out of Yale Medicine, then, then that takes us to, you know, that takes us to, back to the, back to our Abortion and Sterilization Act. So, abortion, section one, you know, abortion means the abortion of a live fetus of a woman with intent to kill such fetus. That's one heck of a language. And then, interesting enough, right next to the definition of abortion is incest. I'll just give it to you as a bonus. Incest means carnal intercourse, carnal. Get your mind out of the gutter. Carnal intercourse between two persons who are related to each other and by reason of such a relationship, incompetent to marry each other. And oh, by the way, there's also, you know, if you are related by blood and you, you know, you engage in incest, the chances of ending up with a child who is very, 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 very troubled genetically are really high. Look up the War of Spanish Succession. Blood relative marriage ruined the Habsburg family, you know, the Habsburg family genetic mutation, or more like genes, to the point where they didn't have an heir to the throne in the 1700, and that led to the, you know, to they that left a power vacuum, I think, after the death of King Charles II. Charles the something. And then, well, they ended up with a civil war on their hands because the French were like, oh, it's not having an heir. We'll just go there and get this, you know, get the throne. And they did, because, well, that's the French. So, moving on. So, now, then we come to medical practitioner. Medical practitioner means a person registered as such under the medical, dental, and supplementary health service professions. Professions Act of 1974. So, for the only people, it turns out that, you know, that are given the conditions according to this act to carry out, the medical procedure known as induced abortion for whatever reasons. And there could be a lot of reasons. We are going to go down those reasons because they're also listed. Now, those ones are coming in section three. Boy, did I feel like, I was, you know, I was in law school. I was in medical school. So, then you just leave all that and then you just scroll all the way to section two, a prohibition of abortion. Section two of the, Abortion and Sterilization Act states that no person shall procure, procure an abortion otherwise than in accordance with the provision of this act. Now, circumstances in which abortion may be procured. Still not getting over the word procurement. Now, section three. Oh dear, this should be fun. Abortion may be procured by medical practitioners only, and then only. I'm going to repeat that again. Abortion may only be procured. In other words, abortion can only be carried out by someone who is registered to practice medicine in Namibia. In other words, unless you are a qualified medical practitioner, aka doctor, to carry out the procedure, don't. That's according to the Act. Don't shoot the messenger. Not me. Now, the conditions then are as follow. And that's one heck of a list, so I don't have time to go through that. I know we still have like an hour and, you know, and a lot of minutes, but well, believe me, I'm looking at a pile of information. Which you can, and that's, it's the abortion and the abortion and sterilization act is exactly 8 pages. At least the, you know, the soft copy that I'm using here is just 8 pages. So you can just download this at your own and then just read through it. So you don't find yourself in trouble. Both that's morally and legally. My girls, I love you guys so much. So. If the only qualification you have is a grade 7 report card. Yeah, but I have an education, you know, honors degree. Thank you very much for pointing that out. It's education degree. That is to help you teach, you know, people at school. You know, empower the future generation, you know, blah, 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 stuff like that. But not carrying out that procedure. That procedure turns out, according to the Namibian law, is something that's strictly reserved for qualified medical practitioners. That's only reserved for qualified medical practitioners, according to the, hang on a second, what's that? According to the, yeah. Pardon me. According to the Namibian law, I don't have time for this. Now, I'm gonna feel like I'm gonna have to make time. Yeah, that's unless you are, you know, you went to law school. Sorry, guys, habits. Unless you went to medical school and you are registered under medical, dental, and supplementary health service professions. Professions Act, you are not allowed to carry out any of these procedures. So, in other words, if you feel the natural one is coming, doctor, now. Now, as for all those qualified professionals in a traditional sense of things, it got me thinking, really? Well, This leaves a lot of traditional practices out, but not here to judge, just to read through stuff. So, what are the conditions that you are allowed, that one is allowed to carry out the procedure and they will actually, you know, have the procedure carried out on them? Now, this legislation is somewhat very interesting to read, as you could be able to tell from the definition. Abortion may be procured by medical practitioner only, the conditions are where the continued pregnancy endangers the life of the woman concerned or constitutes a serious threat to her physical health and two other medical practitioners have certified in writing. Jesus, my God, this is one some serious law. In writing that, in their opinion, the continued pregnancy so endangers the life of the woman concerned or so constitutes a serious threat to her physical health, and abortion is necessary to ensure the life or physical health of the woman. In other words, if you are having complications, you know, if you are pregnant and you're having complications that are so bad, they are life-threatening you, it becoming, you know, it becomes a situation of you have to cut off the limb to save the body situation. I think that, you know, that we have going on here. Second circumstance, where the continued pregnancy constitutes a serious threat to the mental health of the woman concerned, and two other medical practitioners have certified again in writing that in their qualified, just decided to throw them, that in their opinion, the continued pregnancy creates the danger of a permanent damage to the woman's mental health, and abortion is necessary to ensure the mental health of a woman. Now, section 3, subsection 1A is more about the physical health of the woman, the life and the physical health of a woman. Subsection 2 is specifically just narrows it down on mental health. How does that work? Don't ask me. Now, and then you come in now the third one, where there exists a serious risk that the child to be born. Now, that one is, I've heard a lot in this whole, you know, abortion debate. Now, this one you get a lot. Where there exists a serious risk that the child to be born will suffer from a physical or mental defect of such nature that he will be irreparably seriously handicapped, and two other medical practitioners have again certified in writing that in their opinion there exists on scientific grounds such a risk, or where the fetus is alleged to have been conceived in consequence of unlawful carnal intercourse. That's rape. And two other medical practitioners have certified in writing. So in other words, seems like you can't just have a good weekend and then fall pregnant and then say, well, I want an abortion. No. As for the law as it stands now, they'll be like, did you have a good weekend? Then according to this piece of legislation, unless it's changed, which is why now I totally understand why, you know, they call for, because there've been a lot of calls to sort of like amend it. Yeah. Now, because, right now it's somewhat, you know, I can't believe we're, you know, getting, you know, we men are getting women's surnames, before we get to the amendment of this act. But anyway, where the fetus is alleged to have been conceived in consequence of unlawful carnal sex, pregnancies conceived via rape, if it's medically proven, you don't just have to say it. Of course, you're gonna have to file in a case, and then medical professions, more like medical experts, are going to come in, and they will do all the regular examinations. And the once it's it's proven that this was not consented, it's bring out the procedure. Yeah. Now. And then they go to the point of basically narrowing it down on that one. Now, where the fetus is alleged, in case of alleged rape or incest, Jesus, after such interrogation on the woman concerned, as they or of them may be considered necessary, in the opinion of the pregnancy, the pregnancy is due to the alleged rape or incest, as the case may be. I don't get the whole. Anyway, I'm just bottling in the mind the gap part in this one. Now, in the case of alleged unlawful carnal intercourse in a contravention of Section 15 of the Immorality Act, oh dear, that the woman concerned is an idiot or an imbecile. Hang on a second, I think I'm reading this wrong. Oh no, I'm not. I was laughing at that the whole afternoon. Now, a medical practitioner who has issued a certificate referred to in subsection 1 shall in no way participate in or assist with the abortion in question, and such a certificate or such certificates issued for the same purpose. Jeez, that's a lot of gibberish. So, in other words, there are conditions, more like there are circumstances that abortion is allowed to be carried out. But there are a lot of things to point out here. Professional, medical, registered, qualified medical, not TikTok doctor, not YouTube, not internet doctor, no. Qualified and registered according to the Namibian law. Only then, no, you're my homie. I mean, we can, no, bestie, I will help you. No. Qualified. And even then, even the person that is qualified alone cannot carry out that procedure. Because, basically the entire subsection 3 keeps pointing out to two doctors must provide written evidence over why, in their professional opinion, this procedure needs to be carried out. Elizabeth, what did you do to my sanity? Because I think I'm losing it here. And my light is blinking like crazy, so let's take a call now, shall we? The line is 083-288-401. Now, for those of you that were listening from the beginning, you know that while we still have a lot of tangent to go with. Oh. Please do call back. Now, one. You must be qualified medically, not by Googling. You must be qualified medically. Two, even if you are qualified, you need to do, you need to provide written documentation. Written documentation, you and your cosignee. Two, qualified professionals are required. Eagle FM, good night.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
You want to pretend as if you are in the shoes of Elizabeth? You can never fit in the shoes of Elizabeth.
I don't have the voice.
No. You are not only the voice, you are very conservative. Very much conservative. The system that, the attitude of the one that you inherited from Dwight is the one that you are actually emulating here.
That's just me trying to follow Sun Tzu's advice. Never outshine the master.
Then you must just tell us that this is your own program. It's not Elizabeth's program.
I'm not going to be Elizabeth.
The timing is for Elizabeth. But the characters and all the procedures and all these things, that is for conservatives, not for liberal democrats.
If you just called in to tell me that I'm not Elizabeth, I already know that. So what else? Tell me something I don't know.
Why do you, from your introduction, from your preamble, you say you're going to conduct it as the Elizabeth thing, and you introduce the abortion, and the other thing?
Now, go back to the podcast. I made it very clear.
That what?
That I'm not Elizabeth, and you don't need to be told that. I just brought it up for sarcasm.
You are not Elizabeth, but I saw...
TK, tell me something I don't know. I'm not Elizabeth. I know that. I'm a guy, for one.
So you are a guy on your own.
Yeah.
But don't say that, yes, Elizabeth, I will conduct it the way Elizabeth conducted. No, it can never be.
Okay, you need to get your ears checked. I didn't say I will conduct it the same way that Elizabeth
what
did.
What did you say?
Go back to the podcast.
Unless you could have said, okay, guys, I'm going to take over. Elizabeth is not around, and I'm not going to allow anybody to come in, and I'll just talk, and then we can do other meaningful things than listening to you.
Okay.
As a conservative.
What is your take on the subject, other than telling me I'm not Elizabeth?
The abortion that you have learned, and the law of person or whatever.
Yeah.
This the legal jungles and whatever you want to tell us.
So,
you know what, man?
Yeah.
I'm just making my own point here. You can differ with it.
Go on.
So, you know what? when you listen to this program, I understand you are comedians and all these other things. I wish I have the power to even cut some of the time that is being wasted here.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, I have the power. So, moving on. Guys, if you are going to call in, you have to call in and participate on the subject. Because if you just call to tell me I'm not Elizabeth, I already know that. I'll just, what's that in Elizabeth's language? Cut them! Moving on. Now. Where were we? We were just on the act of the sterilization and abortion and sterilizations act. So I'm telling you what the piece of legislation in Namibia says. So for your safety, that's if you're a lady. If you're a guy, just worry about putting on some protection. So moving on. Oh, we have another call. Hello.
Yes, my the worship.
Are you going to tell me something, or you're still going to tell me about Elizabeth?
We participate on the abortion that you brought here. What is it that you want to talk us to talk about abortion?
Well, you call me. You tell me. You are the one that called in. So I assume you have a point to make.
You presented the topic. We know the circumstances.
Uh-huh.
That the grounds that allow abortion to be done, whether you get the medical report
uh-huh.
or whatever. So now
we know how many are you?
So now whom are you presenting? Are you only presenting to one person?
No.
All of us who are listening here.
Yeah.
All of us that are listening here.
Get to USAFE today, where every penny counts. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lavis Previn 1 washing powder. Costs only 34.99 Namibian dollars at USAFE. And a large tin right brand dog food, just 26.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE, we all save at USAFE.
Kuranga au mathimbo ya mkucha, omoro sheketu na wampa ngodhi njido mwonjira. Ngashi, inota aguru kila shaa mpoka. Ino hinga kuhio dhungo, ino hinga anumata ya ira gapapa, ino hingirira. Omoro ashoka, inatukara okutura onkara mwenye wei, moshiponga. Ino ninga umuyarulwa, ino ninga oshinene nima. Kara umuro ngithi mwonjira, umu inekewa. Ninga shoka sho mwonjira, eto kupitha o umuinyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without.
Now, and welcome back. So we continue from where we left off. Again, just a quick reminder. When you call in, the topic is abortion, not Elizabeth, not Helmut. Maybe a little bit of, pulling heartstrings, blah, blah, blah. Now. Moving on. We basically went through all the legislations. And now, let's get to some of the most talking point that you get from a lot of people that are engaged in the discussion of why this is considered somewhat of a very touchy subject. So, we're going to start from definitions, that basically emanates, for the most part, from the definition of what life is. Because, biology and law have a problem agreeing over how to define where life begins. Not creation and evolution, not that type of life. Like, how do you define that someone's alive, you know, someone is alive? Now, if you know, people get, when are people given birth certificates? So, in other words, when are people recognized legally that you legally exist, according to the law, you exist. You are a person. The law is here to protect you. When they're given birth certificates. So when are people given birth certificates? When they're born. So that's why your birth certificate has your date of birth, not your date of conception. Actually, for the love of God, we don't want to know that. Let's just stick to the day that you were born, not the day that you were conceived, or where, or how, for the sake of our sanity. We know, we just don't want, you know, we don't want a picture of you engraved in our heads. Again, for the sake of our sanity. Now, on induced abortion, this is such a, you know, this is such an incendiary topic in a lot of ways. Actually, in one major way. Now, you have, basically three camps. You have those that don't care. And you have those ones that I say, that call for the implementation of abortion. And, the expansion of basically, the expansion of in Namibian terms of Section 3 to take it beyond those, what can be described by a lot of people as somewhat, very strict ways one can access abortion. In other words, expand it so that you can cater for people that just don't want, that don't want an unwanted pregnancy. You know, someone who is not having any of the medical complications or, societal in terms of forced, forced conception that is covered by Section 3. So, expand it beyond that. Now, what if I just had, a good weekend, and then things went so nice, we decided to throw away all the protection and went bananas, and now I'm pregnant, but I don't want to keep the baby, or I don't want to keep the pregnancy, I don't want to have a child. Can I have an abortion then? Now, that is where you have a lot of, a lot of voices now. Some voices coming from a religious standpoint, some voices coming from, just a point of view. It's just my point of view. It's just what I think. And some coming from a legal standpoint. I don't know, cultural, traditional. So you have a lot of these debates. But one thing now I just can't see, can't stop asking myself is, when it comes to these things, I just want to get a picture of our, different, I don't want to say African, because that would be too broad for my head to handle. But I think, looking at it from an African standpoint would be nice. Like, in our, respective traditional, in our respective traditional norms, respective traditional authorities, or more like, traditional practices. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. In our traditional practices, how is abortion defined? Is it something that is a yes, yes? Or is something that is a completely no, no, no? Or is it something that is a yes and no? Or is it something that is a no, but under the circumstances, like we have our legislations today? Like from a traditional practice standpoint, and I know that we have different practices, different norms, different, different way of doing things culturally, depending on the tribe or, on a tribe you're from, from the tribe you're from. But I feel like it would be, somewhat very interesting to look at it like, what does African tradition say about this topic? Because the loudest talking points I've heard on the debate, especially on induced abortion, are coming from either coming from religious point of view, most of them. And you hear a lot of them coming from a traditional standpoint. And you hear some of them coming mostly from, I don't care somehow. Now, biology defines life different from the law of persons. The law of persons defines life as beginning at birth, when a child is born and they start breathing on their own, then that's a human being. Now, when it comes to to conception, to all those 9 months before the baby is born, is still one hot debate over. Should you recognize a fetus as a citizen of your country? That is still a huge debate, not just here in Namibia. It's basically everywhere. I know. Everywhere you bring up that topic, especially if you bring it with regards to let's change the law, because more often when this when these discussions are brought up, it's mostly in reference to let's change the law because it's not accommodating a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are left out of the current law, like the ones that we have in Namibia right now. Because it only caters for people mostly for people that are raped or people that are fall pregnant via incest. Still kills. Still beats me. Or those ones that have complications to the point where it's threatening the woman's life. That would be okay. Now this is threatening the woman according to Section 3. Threatening the woman whether physically or mentally. That's covered. If you had a good weekend without protection and end up finding out that you're pregnant, you can't approach, it would be somewhat, I think it's safe to say, illegal for you to, for you to approach any place and basically get the procedure. I'm sure there are a lot of, again, not expert here. I'm sure, so if you are looking for expert on these things, you need a lawyer or a doctor, not a presenter / comedian. So just take these breadcrumbs and build your own loaf. And, take the breadcrumbs and take it to the right chefs. These are qualified medical practitioners. They're the ones that can be there. Not yourself. Not with SAF, not with the newspaper. Don't ask. In high school, I had stories that almost sent me to therapy. So,
biology cannot tell law how to define life. Life can't tell law how to define biology. So, according to biology now, this is where one of those parts where the major disagreements now begins to pop up. Because now you have the people that are arguing from a biological standpoint, because the guys from the legal area will tell you that, fetus is not a recognized human being. And the guys coming out of biology will be fuming out through their ears. Because, why? Well, it's, have you ever, come across one of those videos where this is mostly rich people? Or white people, start reading a book on the belly of a pregnant woman, because it's scientifically proven a baby can hear from the belly at, 4 or 5 months? Don't quote me on that. Somewhere in that time period, the baby can hear. Now, this is where you have a giant problem. So, debate, let's just go with that. I'm running out of English. This whole debate of whether or not a fetus is a human being. That's buried in technical lingo of two different disciplines. biology is telling you a definition of when a baby becomes to life. Actually, if you look at it from a biological standpoint, you don't have to be a medical expert to know that the two cells that are meeting to form a zygote, aka a fertilized egg, that form that turns into a baby, that turns into you and me. Those two cells are also alive, because if a sperm cell is dead, it's not going to swim. So now, then we go back, like, I don't know where we get, where we're going to end up. Now, I think it's somewhat mentally exhausting to think of, as a lawmaker, like, if you were to shift now the definition of what life is in terms of legal recognition from a time when a baby is born to the time, okay, so, well, if a fetus is, is living, which is, because according to science, a fetus can hear you in the belly. So last time I checked, only things that are living can hear. Okay, so, all right. Now, let's say if we are defining life from a biology standpoint, we are looking at a comedy show. Because, what happens is, let's get a, you know, a birth certificate for a child from the day that they are conceived. And then maybe, you know, tear down the birth certificate if something goes wrong or the pregnancy is lost, for example. Ouch. Now, then we are going to end up, whether I like it or not, it's going to be argued. It can easily be argued that, the sperm and egg that are fertilizing are also, these are literally live cells. They are live cells, which is why they're able to actually fuse and multiply. They are live. When cells die, they don't multiply. And then that takes us to the direction of, okay, so what do we do about masturbation then? So, if you just take a suspiciously long shower, should also that be illegal? Because, well, you're killing. Because those cells are literally alive. Now, at this point, my gender is in trouble. Yeah. So, I think the biggest bone of contention here is the slippery slope. Lawmakers that basically make laws, because most of the protest against, for or against the abortion and everything is intended for lawmakers to change the law to suit the people that are said to be sort of somewhat sidelined by the existing law. So, if we now say, all right, I feel like, the guys that are coming out of the legal fraternity, aka your lawmakers, are the ones that are now, they are somewhat scared to death to shift the goalpost that defines life from the time that the baby is born. Because, laws, in a lot of countries across the world define life as when a baby, a human being, what is a human being? Someone that is born and then, well, they're able to breathe their own. Now, then they're given a birth certificate. Now, that's a birth certificate is a state's way of telling you that, okay, now you're human. In other words, until then, we were just, you were not a cake yet. We're just waiting for the oven to bake the cake and, now you're a cake. So, when you look at it from that angle, you begin to realize why it's, one of the reasons, I think it's safe to say why a lot of guys in the, lawmakers are scared to shift the goalpost from the maternity word in terms of defining humanity, aka human life, to conception. Also, for the sake of sanity, no one wants to be talking about, plus 90% of us would have no idea. So, when do you think you conceived this child? Man, a lot of wrong birthdays then. We're talking a ton. So that also leaves a lot of a very huge, we're talking, a huge wide gray area. Now, for a line of work that, not for a, you know, for a discipline that's buried in technicality, it brings up a lot of, that's buried in technicality. It brings up a lot of, it becomes a little bit difficult to define. I think that difficulty in defining if they shift the goalpost from a maternity ward to the bedroom or bathroom or kitchen floor, don't ask. I think that's the, it becomes somewhat very vague legally because frankly, at this point, you are just dangling with the invasion of privacy. Yes, now you'll have to recruit a police to figure out how many people a couple are doing it at night, so you can be able to determine just around which time period did they conceive this child. Which judge would want to sit through that? Not me, if I ever become one. I like my comedy. Now, so the fear of shifting the goalpost then. That's another disaster. Relax. Let's take pulling her strength with helmet, not Elizabeth. Had to correct that because, well, Jesus.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to remove that from... That was Professor David with his business and economic segment. So he's just been hiding here. So... Before we get to some of the reports on this subject that are coming out of Namibia, let's look at this is one of those debates that discussions that are going to go on forever and ever and ever. Because, first of all, like I pointed out earlier, human beings, we can't live without each other. We have to live with each other. Now the problem is, in our living with each other, we have to agree on, we have to agree to disagree by just having discussions instead of pointing fingers. Because, well, nothing will get accomplished, then. Let's start with camp number one, for example, most of the people that most of the proponents, like Dwight likes to put it, most of the proponents of of abortion like to point out to you hear us a lot of this coming out of the Western world, where they're saying, well, my body, my choice, I can just do whatever I want with it, but there's just one thing though. For them to do that, they want legislative backing, aka change the law. Now, in which a lot of states in countries like the US, they have basically changed changed abortion laws to cater for unwanted pregnancies. But for a lot of African countries, it turns out, they are going to cater for a lot of things, and unwanted pregnancy, like a lot of lawmakers on the African continent, that's when, actually not a, a lot of lawmakers in a lot of, you know, in basically a lot of lawmakers around the world will have a problem with that. Like, unwanted pregnancy. Now, this is a pregnancy that's coming out of not rape. And this is the pregnancy that's not threatening your life. Now, you have to understand that, to, you know, to carry all this out, or more like to make it legal, because, take for example, if any professional, even if they are qualified according to, you know, as the Act points out, you know, carry out that procedure, but then the procedure doesn't meet the requirements outlined in Section 3, they could lose their license. So now you see the fear from that. Like, any, you know, any qualified individual, when they, you know, when you come to them, even if they are qualified to carry out the procedure, and, yeah, and they, you know, they observe you with their, you know, medical 7 years, or how long do you guys stay in school? That's, that love for school is something else. Now, even if you approach them with that, they can't do that because they could get into trouble unless they know you very well. Problem with us is, well, you help one and then they tell the other one, and the next thing you know, you have ACC at your door. Is it, who is going to investigate you for that though? The ACC and the Minister of Health, I mean, I'm telling you, this is something else. Now, then, so, more often when this discussion is brought up in terms of changing the law, it's mostly about catering for unwanted pregnancies, not rape. Not ones that are emerging from rape, because it, from the look of the, you know, abortion and, abortion and sterilization act, that's covered. Not, incest, it turns out, that's covered. Not, health, health related complications, be it mentally or physically, because that's also covered by the, that's also covered by that act. So, more often the, so the only part that is covered that I think a lot of, proponents would, advocate for is one emerging from unwanted pregnancy. With a total stranger, so incest is out through the window, totally healthy pregnancy, no complications as far as medical complications is concerned, and none of that. And now you have, this is where we now see the parliament now, well, descending into chaos, and now they have a problem basically, well, agreeing on, you know, agreeing on, you know, basically coming to a unanimous consensus. And that's because the unanimous consensus is not a very easy one. Now, even on a, you know, even on a global scale, the, you know, even on a global scale, even in developed countries, you find, in actually not all of them, a lot of developed countries, find, have this, you know, they have these discussions. And, they run into problems of, well, oppositions. For all kinds of reasons. And both camps, both the pro-abortion and as they call it in the Western world, pro, pro-choice and pro-life. Pro-choice, aka those ones that support that it's, well, it's your body, your choice, and all that. And pro-life is those ones that, life is life, don't take a life. Abortion is murder and all those things. Yeah, abortion is killing. I think, when you look at, when you look at the definition of section, in section one of the, abortion and sterilization act, if, that, act is amended, you better believe section one is the first one to go. Not to go, the first one to be, the first one to be amended, because the definition of, because the definition, the way that the current, laws regulating this discussion, or more like regulating, that practice, there's literally the word killing in it. Now, you can only kill something that's, something that's alive. So, so that means we, according to Namibian law, it's recognized that a fetus is something that's alive. So we are leaning towards the biology definition of what is life here. And, that is, that's an interesting take. Now, in 2015, one of the, you know, America's, I think is one of the most famous OBGY, abortionist gynecologist. A very smart guy because, you know, because he is, how to put this, a very smart guy, like, you know, like Itula smart. And when I say Itula smart, I mean, he's both a lawyer and a doctor, except he's not a constitutional or no. I don't know what type of a lawyer Itula is. But I know that, the doctor that I'm going to reference here is one Dr. Anthony Levitino, who appeared before Congress in 2015. And now this is someone that has been practicing abortion for a very long time. According to him, he had carried out over 1,000 abortions during the course of his career. And then along the line, he just decided to, you know, change teams, and now he's playing for a different team. You can watch this, you can watch or more like, read his, you know, his whole works. According to him, he's, basically explaining in somewhat, can't believe it, I watched that, in excruciating detail about why he believed from his medical professional standpoint. And he's also, let me just point out that he's also leaning towards, yeah, he's leaning towards, you know, towards his medical career. And also he's pointing out that, I am a man of God type, you know, thing. Now, which is why it was very easy for me to, it's very easy to, for anyone to, who reads through this to reach the conclusion of, what's going on here is this. You have anyone, whether you are talking to the you know to the proponent or opposer of of the implementation of abortion, especially as it relates to unwanted pregnancy, is mostly going to most of those I've come across are coming from a religious point of view.
Onda karhandu yako parateza morwe data paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka, ne data, no shoyo o utumaraka mahupi. O netuwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuinyengarumwe, o kujapandali, fio papa ndauka. O ndapumga o netuwe kaoyo, haidira dira, ya fange. O mafikuwa amwe, o handi streaming, o mafikuwa amwe, o handi popi, o mafikuwa amwe, o handi ningaishe, po shikanto shimwe. Pamwina parateza, o inda holora, ame haishi pangere, osho pa umwene. Dira dira oma kwa tafanoni data momkaro wiri mwana parika okutuma koutumaraka okustreaminga na okudenga pamwe na Parates konga Parates Namibia.
Always prepare Parates.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM let you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM, the eye, and welcome back, and we continue. So, for those of you that just tuned in, wherever you're coming from, no judging, just, pointing out that, careful out there. Protection. Because today we are today's discussion involves one topic that is considered incendiary, and that is abortion. So whether we like it or not, some of these subjects we just have to discuss, and that's what we are here to do. Now, when it comes to when it comes to the land of the brave, something that is also pointed out, attitudes in Namibia. Now, this is the attitude towards the topic of abortion, according to the Legal Assistance Center. Now, in June of 2020, calls for legalizing abortion in Namibia intensified, and a petition to amend the law to increase access to legal abortion in Namibia has attracted 60,000 signatures by September of 2020. Now, the authorities of the petition proposed that the right to access legal abortion should be accompanied by education relating to sexual health and reproductive rights to prevent unwanted pregnancies and baby dumping. Now, here's the thing. For those of you that have been sitting here for the past 2 hours and 3 minutes, then you know that according to the Abortion and Sterilization Act, it stipulates the condition. Abortion is not illegal. It's not illegal. It is legal. Just under conditions that are considered by a lot of by a lot of Namibians as as not broad enough, to include things like unwanted pregnancies which was argued back in 2020 by the proponents of the amendments of the Abortion and Sterilization Act is not broad enough. I think, for the most part, they are just referring to the, to the conditions stipulated in Section 3, as they are not wide enough to cater for, they are not wide enough, they are not broad enough, and that a lot of people are being sidelined, and as a result, we're seeing a lot of baby dumping. Now, they also pointed out that attempts to liberalize the law on abortion have been met with strong oppositions from, would not have guessed that, of course, we all, from religious groups and some women groups and politicians. Now, this is where the social aspect I started with now begins to ring a lot of bells, because that's coming from 2020. And we have basically seen this come up over and over again. And this is where this is where I like to say that we are not going to 100% agree on something. Never. Someone will always have a different point of view. It's how we address the discussion that's going to matter the most. And if you look at the lingo here, it's somewhat very interesting, because if you look at the attitude, it's just a paragraph of four sentences, but it's a loaded paragraph. That in 2020 there were calls for legalizing abortion. So in other words, incorporate it into the law. Which I think, as someone that is obsessed with technicalities, now I'm looking at it from, they didn't say incorporate it into, they didn't say incorporate it into a company policy. They didn't say incorporate it into your religion. They just said incorporate it into the law. Expand the legal definition. We're not going to change what the good book says about abortion. That's not what we're after. We're not going to say what, what your beliefs are on abortion. That's not what we're after. What we're asking for is the law that regulates this area in Namibia. We want it broadened in terms of definition of who gains access to abortion. Now, just in the first paragraph, they're saying in June of 2020, calls for legalizing, in other words, make it according to the law. Now, and then you just drop all the garbage in there, then you just go to the last sentence, then you have, attempts to liberalize, in other words, to make it, call it more inclusive, blah, blah, blah. To liberalize the law on abortion have been met with strong opposition from religious groups and some women, women's groups and politicians. So this is very interesting to look at, because Just look at it from a Namibian perspective, because we are, at least we call ourselves, even though a couple of weeks ago the president was calling for prayers, you know. One thing I like about our country is that we classify ourselves at least, and we really practice that to some degree, that we're a secular society. In other words, you don't tell me what to believe, I don't tell you what to believe. You believe in your phone will take you to an electronic heaven. You can do that. I believe that, there's a place waiting for me with 77 virgins and honey. I'm still converting. That's one compelling story. You can believe that. In other words, we live in a country where you can practice whatever religion you want. In other words, or you can choose not to practice religion. And you have a lot of people that can be categorized as atheist. Now, at this point, saying that don't change it because, well, my religion doesn't allow it, somewhat brings up a whole different discussion that we are going to have now, it can easily be argued that, okay, I know your religion doesn't allow it, but that's just the thing. I'm not saying change your religion. I'm saying change the law. There's a difference. Your religion, good book. Law, legislation. You have those. So these are two separate things. But this is why these things quickly become into an unending debate now. Because take for example, if you have someone who is a strong believer in faith, whatever faith that they believe in, whatever Christian denomination or non-Christian, as long as they are rooted in faith, that does not allow a legalization of a practice like that. If you have a person like that, and you have someone who doesn't believe in any religion, any religion or any deity. If you bring these two groups together to debate on whether or not you should legalize abortion, boy, that's going to take forever, like literally. Because you have, these are two groups, and this is not me analyzing. This is just me, looking at from the angle of where these two groups are drawing their source of reference. What are they referencing? Take for example, if you are, if you're a Christian like me, you can easily say, you can easily quote a few scriptures in the Bible and start saying, according to the Bible, you can't do this because it's a sin. Now, the person now that does not subscribe to my faith can easily say, it's a sin. Now, first of all, one, I don't believe in that. And again, I'm not asking you to change the Bible. I'm asking you to change the law. These are two different legislations. Now you have a problem with this debate, because that debate is never ending. That one is going to go in eternity, because one is saying the Bible says and the other one is saying the law says. Not the Ten Commandments, although, those are, commandments. God is not playing. He's not telling you that, you may. No, you cannot. Not, you may not steal, you may steal if you have, no, you can't steal. No, you just stop. Nice. Now, so, this, for me, basically wraps it up. This is the same case even for the LGBTQ discussion. Change the law? No, we can't change it because, the good book we have here doesn't allow it. And then, for any history lover, understands that, at some point in the history of, Christianity, we figured out that, combining lawmakers and priests is a bad idea, terrible idea, terrible. So that's why, you more often hear of the separation of church and state. So, this is fascinating, I'm telling you. Because you are looking at it now. We live in a society where we more often talk about the separation of church and state. And every time that we talk about state matters, we bring in the church. And every time that we talk about church matters, we bring in the state. So we are back to the beginning of my of the point that I made earlier, that we can't live with each other. I mean, we can't live without each other. But we can't agree on one thing. It's called discourse. It's not fighting. When we are talking, we are not fighting. That's a good thing. When we are not, you know, when we are not talking, that's a problem. When we are not talking. And also, there's a difference between, hey, how are you? I'm good. And then, so this is my point. This is my point of view on this topic and this and this and this and this and this. And this is what I think this should be. So what's your take? No, my take is this and this and this and this and this and this. Now, what do these two things have in common that we can bring together so that, you know, or for what we don't, what they don't have in common, we can compromise? Yeah, no. Like, if you want to enjoy this, if you want to enjoy these discussions, you have to look at it now. If you want to enjoy these discussions, you have to look at it from the angle of where the opposer or the proposer, aka supporter, is, you know, what are they pointing to as their literature reference? Now, the Legal Assistance Center guys basically discovered that more often when we say, let's have, let's change the law to expand the definition of, or more like to expand the conditions with which abortion is allowed to be given in Namibia, or more like to be administered in Namibia. A lot of us go, well, we have a separation of church and state, but there is a line. Again, not a lawmaker. I'm just saying I find these comparisons very fascinating. Really fascinating. And I think, I think that's the reason why, you know, that's the reason why this is going to go on and on and on and on. So, we're still in Namibia. So, I would have read something that would have made me send them an invoice. So just so we're clear, current laws, abortion is not illegal. Again, get your smartphone and then look up Abortion and Sterilization Act and just read section 1, 2, and 3, and that should answer more of your questions. And if you want to expand, if you want to start looking into sterilization, then sure, go ahead. You know, again, choice is there. Now sterilization part, that's not today's discussion. Although it's linked to, it's what leads to pregnancy and it takes us to the abortion discussion in the first place. Yeah. Now, Now, as we speak, you know, that whole, this and this and these are conditions. Those are conditions that are given according to the law. The health facilities that administer this medical procedure, they are going to ask for a price because it's not free. They are qualified. They went to school, remember? I already pointed out that, Abortion and Sterilization Act regulates, which is inherited from South Africa because this is Act 2 of 1975. So we got our independence in 1990. This law allows for abortion only in the circumstances where where continuing the pregnancy will endanger the woman's life or constitute a serious threat to her physical or mental health. That's basically summarizing section 3 of that act. And, where there is a serious risk that the child is born with deformities that are so bad, it's not going to help at all delivering them. Physical, this is for mental or physical defect that result in irreparable and serious handicap. Now, the pregnancy resulted from rape, incest, unlawful carnal intercourse, which a woman who has a severe mental incapacity, unlawful, that still falls under the category of rape. I mean, because if mental incapacity, mental incapacity, yeah. Throw alcohol in there. Yeah. In other words, if you take advantage of someone who is drunk, again, still fall under, you know, as long as there is no consent. Long story short, rape. You're welcome. And be safe. Now, two medical practitioners, like, like I pointed out earlier, like the act stipulates also, you know, just concurring with the medical assistance center guys here. Except now, they dive a little deeper in terms of punishment of what comes to, if the conditions under Section 3 are not met. Oh dear. Now, two medical practitioners must provide a certificate, verifying the grounds for abortion, as per Section 3, of course, where the basis of the abortion, is unlawful intercourse or, emanating from rape or incest. A certificate from a magistrate is also necessary. It's a whole process. A certificate from magistrate is necessary. Abortion in any other circumstances is criminal. So, under, abortion outside the circumstances stipulated in Section 3 of that act is illegal. Abortion, carried out stipulated as per the conditions given in Section 3, that is legal. So, abortion itself, generally or technically, it's not illegal. Now, you can easily get into trouble depending on how you carry it out. Now, this is where the good people, Legal Assistance Center, goes into, point out that, any abortion in, carried out, outside the, any other, other than these circumstances is a criminal offense for both the woman who seeks it and the person who performs it. That's why I pointed out earlier that even if this medical profession is professional is qualified to carry out the procedure, they have to do it in line with the act, or they could easily get into trouble, like legal trouble. Now, the punishment is a fine of up to $5,000 or imprisonment for up to 5 years or both. Oi, yeah, we need a break. It's a good thing I'm not a doctor.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. The time is 22 minutes left, 22 minutes past the hour of 11, and we are here until the hour of tomorrow. And this is Helmut, not Elizabeth. You're welcome. We continue. What would happen to your very good doctor if they were caught performing this practice? Which is this is one of the reasons why you would find why I think you would this is one of the reasons why you would not be shocked to find medical practitioners advocating for the appealing of the Abortion and Sterilizations Act, because even though they are qualified to carry out this procedure, if the conditions does not meet Section 3 of the Act, they could get into legal trouble. 5 years. Now that's some serious things. Now, to just understand how technical these things are, which is why you have to understand why, when it comes to, to legislations, calling for its change is your best course of action. Because if you're not calling for its change, and you just soldier your way through, you could get into some serious legal trouble. Because this year, let me just take you on a little bit of a topical break. Just this year, I think just a month or two ago, the Office of the Auditor General conducted more like an analysis report of what's going on at the Ministry of Health. How are things going on? How are things going procurement wise? And the Office of the Auditor General, in excruciating detail, criticized the Ministry of Health for procuring a lot of products and services under emergency procurement. But when they looked at the services and products that were procured under emergency procurement, that definition of emergency that these products and services were procured under did not meet the Procurement Act's requirement, or what the Procurement Act defines as conditions for emergency procurement. Assuming I haven't bored you to sleep already, I still have 36 minutes. So that fine of $5,000 or imprisonment of up to 5 years is something that is every medical profession, and also put in mind that they could be facing a serious reputation problem, and also they could be facing a serious problem with regards to their license, and especially reputation wise. Like, which company would want to, which health facility would want to employ someone with a record like that? Like, every company's biggest fear is that, are you a liability or not? So, in other words, unless that piece of legislation is changed, unwanted pregnant individuals not going to have access to those services, but the practitioners themselves will be like, I want to help you, all right, but no. Why? Because, you were not raped, and fortunately for you, you have family members that have their sanity in check, so none of them touched you. So it was a total stranger. So, well, that's nice. And the pregnancy is not threatening you in any mental or physical, physically dangerous way, so nope. That is the part. Whenever you hear protest of abortion, allow abortion, that's the part. That's the focal point. Now, what's your take on this? It's another interesting discussion to have every time this topic comes up. Whether you are for it or against it, we have already established it that, established the foundation that, we can't live without each other. I mean, if you look at the way that men and women have been roasting each other, who cheats the most, men and women? I mean, when a straight man is cheating, he's cheating with a woman. So, in other words, both the men and women are represented. In other words, they're both cheaters, like crazy cheaters. So, that comparison, I find it mind-spinning. sends my head into a downward spiral. So the punishment, so not only is the individual seeking the, seeking the procedure punished, but also the person attempting or who, the person who carried out the procedure, those people, they are both going to face a procedure. Now, the guy that caused the problem, on the other hand, I don't seem to see that here, so at this point, I think I love Namibian law. In other words, chances are very high when they amend it, they are going to add to the punishment. So the punishment, abortion and any criminal offenses on both. And this is a Helmut edited version. Now I'm focusing the amendments. Abortion in any other circumstances is criminal for both women, the man that's responsible for the pregnancy. And the woman that seeks abortion, and the man that's responsible for the pregnancy, and the doctor that performed the abortion without following the due process. So, gentlemen, until then, you and I are off the hook, at least legally. If they find someone performing abortion. Now, if someone is a medical professional qualified, though they may be, found, performing, abortion outside the, outside this, the conditions stipulated in Section 3 of the Abortion Sterilization Act, they could get into trouble. It's them and the woman that went to seek the abortion. In other words, you and I are nowhere near that, past 11:29. Moving on. So the punishment is $5,000 for 5 years. The criminalization of abortion has driven many Namibians, women, to unsafe abortions, and the contribution of unsafe abortion to maternal deaths is not unknown. It's not known. Yeah. But the little data is available suggests that in many accounts for 12 to 16 accounts for 12 to 16% of Namibians' annual maternal death, because bleeding profusely is what happens, unfortunately, and blood, you need that to transport oxygen to all the needed parts, especially the red blood cells. Now, then they start looking at all the statistics that I took you through. Now, you have to understand that because unwanted pregnancy is a huge problem in any society, of which Namibia is not an exception. Then we are now caught in between a rock and hard place. Now you are reading about stories of baby dumping. Just in my region, a couple of days ago, an article came out. I think that was I'm not sure if that was Kavango East or West, where a couple literally got rid of their baby. That I found disheartening. I'm that would be difficult to move on. But people are gonna ask, right? Were you pregnant? What happened? And it turns out they didn't consider that. They just got rid of the baby after healthy, or more like, delivering the baby, which is, again, sending my head in a downward spiral. The few statistics that have been collected have been the one that I just took you through. Now, interesting enough, I'm still curious to find out, what led to the, to the spike in 2019. COVID-19 came in towards the end of 2019 into 2020. So it can be the lockdowns. It can be the lockdowns. Now, the Namibian police report provided to, the Namibian police, statistics provided to the Legal Assistance Center shows basically from 2013 to 2019, 23 abortions recorded in 2023, 24. If they are recorded as part of the statistics, I'm assuming these are the ones that were done by professionals. Because if they were not done by professionals, and especially those ones that are coming from the police, I'm assuming someone is behind bars here. Now, 2013, you have 23, 2014, you have 19, 2015, you have 13. So there'll be, so there's a dip. 2016, there was a spike of all the way up to 26. And 2017, you have 19. And 2018, there was a single drop of down to 18. And 2019, dear Lord, it skyrockets all the way to 29. Yeah. Now, then you have the misinformation part. Now, that's the part that caught me off guard. I did not know there was that part. The former Minister of Health, that's Bernard Taufiku. Yeah, Dr. Bernard Taufiku stated a few years ago that at one stage that over 7,000 women and girls had accessed health services with abortion-related complications in 2016. However, a close examination of these statistics showed that this number actually referred to mostly spontaneous abortions, a.k.a. miscarriages. Now, you know why it's important to get the language correct? Oh, I've been mixing these languages, all right. Oh, believe me, I have. So, the 7,000 women and girls that have accessed the service, the service with abortion-related complications in 2016, those were miscarriage, not the one that the World Health Organization describes as induced. Now that is the one that the induced one, which is the intentional termination of a pregnancy without without the conditions outlined in section 3. Those are the ones that are, that's what comes to a lot of our minds every time we hear the word abortion. So next time you find people having this discussion, ask them, how many categories of abortion do you know? Chances are very high. It wasn't until, well, yesterday, when Elizabeth shoved this topic down my throat. I'm still thanking you, and you still owe me food. You know, it goes to point out that more often when we are arguing about these things, we are not, we are not having a discussion. We are having a debate. In other words, either party wants to win, not learn, win. So we end up in a situation where we are not reaching a unanimous consensus. Not because there is no unanimous consensus to be reached. It's because we are, because of several things. One is we are drawing our talking points from different, literature sources or from different sources. Like, if you are arguing based on, based on what my religion says, and I'm arguing based on what the law says, and the law is exactly what we would like, is what I'm calling for to change. Then you have, you don't have a common ground at this point. Like, reaching an agreement is going to be borderline impossible. How are the amendments looking? Nowhere near. You're welcome. That's basically in short. Now, this brings us down to the procedures. The procedure of, the procedure, this is a medical procedure. That means it's carried out in hospitals by professionals. And just like any procedure, how much is going to cost is going to depend on, which direction you're taking in terms of, you know, public and health, you know, public and private health. It's like a headache. So. And then they say, oh dear. I'm going to have to drink water for this one. Basically, to sum it up, because I only have, you know, I only have 23 minutes and I have rambled on for a very long time. Now I have to go back to the Biningini, in the Biningini, pulling heartstrings with Elizabeth in absentia and a sidekick, aka moi.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
Yep. Turns out I'm all out of water. Can some of you, my dear, very good listeners, just quickly run to the tap and get me? I'm not fancy. I just tap water is fine for me. I'm one of those people that have African stomachs, and then there are those of you that have European stomachs. So let's wrap this up now, shall we? The change of more often when we hear people calling for the change of the laws that talks about that regulates this medical practice, because that's how it's defined by both Yale and WHO. The change is most likely it's mostly pointing in the direction of 99.9999% pointing in the direction of the abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. Of course, there's a criticism about the whole legislation being adopted from a pre-independent Namibia into post-independent Namibia. And we have a lot of those legislations that we have basically adopted, and a lot of them are still going, going amendment. And is this one going to adopt this amendment that a lot of, again, Namibians keep to be, seem to be calling for? Time will tell. Watch and wait. But the reform. Now, on reforms, some hope a change is coming, and in 2020 then they have a lot of this documentations, more like signatures that were, signatures that were basically called for the, signatures, aka petition, that called to overhaul the ban, or as they described it, or as we just went through, that is more like a expansion, sort of like in terms of the conditions, stipulations that would allow someone to have access to the medical procedure without putting themselves or the practitioner or the medical, practitioner into trouble. Because things do go wrong. Things do go wrong on an operating table. Things do go wrong in any medical procedure. So if it goes wrong to the point of, if you are performing it without, the full backup, or without a full legal backup, and something goes south, not only that person, God forbid, dies on that table. Okay, you have the family after you, the police after you. Your career is up in smoke and Jesu. So this is a discussion being had by Namibians on this on the topic of abortion. And the government has since held a countrywide public hearing. Now this is all is coming from 2024. From 2024, Africa News just decided to cover it on our behalf, enabling citizens to weigh on the debate. Now, the motion, of course, was tabled in Parliament to discuss and open about it, and the discussion to basically reform. That's when the part of the different point of views with regards to pros and cons, more like proponents and opposers of the debate are now coming in from drawing their reference talking points from different references. Some are saying the Bible says this. Some are saying, well, according to a tradition, you can't do this. Some are saying, well, now according to my feelings, you can't do this. Now all these things is we are at some point, I think, going to reach a unanimous consensus as a country. But until then, hold in there. I still can't shake the fact that the doctor and the girl I knocked up are gonna get into trouble. And I'll be there going, eish, what's going on? Oh, you are in jail. Oh, okay, fine, I'll visit. Now, a report, of course you have, all these things basically tabled, but we are still under the Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. Now, South Africa, interesting enough, eventually changed after their independence to to what we would like to change to in terms of, widening the definition of who accesses the medical procedures. But, Namibia was like, now we're good. We're good. We'll have your banks, your insurance companies, your grocery stores, clothing, just hand them over. That change, yeah, no can do. Now, for those of you that want to venture into career politics, you have to understand just what a dilemma this is for a lawmaker, because they have to sit there and go through this and make a decision. They have to make one decision. That will impact a polarized society, because there is not going to come a time where all 3 million of us will say yes, change it, or no, don't change it. Nope. There are always those that will say yes, and there are those that will say no. Now, I can only imagine the headache that it will give you as a lawmaker to try how am I going to make it that's just something else. Because the proponents of the expansion of Section 2 point to the fact that some women cannot get abortion, often end up abandoning their babies in private or public spaces. That's where the baby dumping discussion comes in. And more than 234 newborn whose pregnancies was unintended were left with this way between 2016 and 2022, according to police figures. And about 50 landed in baby boxes purposely set up in 2018 by the Elohim Foundation in the coastal city of Swakopmund, according to the non-profit organization. Now, one of those organizations that basically set up boxes and give those that don't meet the criteria of abortion abortion accessible. Criteria of Section 3 of the Act, that's Abortion Act, to basically, if you don't wanna keep the baby, just we'll have a space here for you. You will just leave the child here, and then you can just go about your day. And thank you very much. And now, Now, this is somewhat very interesting because, you know, you have people that are doing that. So I think I just really like the fact that, well, there is, you know, we are working with what we have in the middle of this whole agreeing and disagreeing. When we are talking, we are not fighting. That's important. It's good for diplomacy. It's good for intimate relationships. When you are talking, you are not fighting. Put in mind there's a difference between talking and quarreling. Anything that starts with your ma, say, blah, blah, blah. That's quarreling, not talking. Or, you know, whatever language you speak. If it's a, you're this and you're that and you're this, your relatives is, yeah, that's not talking, that's quarreling. Now, that's basically fighting, but with words. So, when we are, you know, when we are, speaking of quarreling, more often when we think we are talking about, abortion, we are quarreling about abortion. We're not talking, we're quarreling. In other words, everyone wants to win. This is soccer season, right? Ask soccer lovers. They're going to tell you. There's not a single match where two soccer teams are going to image, you know, victorious. Like, oh no, that guy won and that guy won and they live happily ever after. It's either they draw or one of them lose. So that's the problem of approaching any type of discussion with a winning mentality. Like, I'm going in there and win this. You are never going to reach a unanimous consensus. Oh, you're going to fight. That's for sure. Now, they go on to point out that, baby dumping was so widespread in 2019, the country passed a law, saying that, women who safely drop off their children with the police or at designated safe houses will no longer face prosecution. Now, for that, we were quick to pass a law. I mean, look, we really want to increase the population. I mean, we're just 3 million. I totally understand the relaxation. I said I, not you. I. So, relax. We're just talking. So the opposition views now comes in here as we wrap up. The discussion around abortion comes against the backdrop of other reform debates, including the legislations of same-sex relations and marriages. And we witnessed this in court and, you know, in the Supreme Court, I think, and a lot of people went bananas and I was just there, you know, observing because every 100 years, this planet have new people. So in other words, in whatever we disagree on, we are all gonna die. So what's the point? I'm just here to live my life. So in other words, every time every time we are engaging in a conversation and you are not listening to my point of view and you just want me to listen to yours only and you wouldn't pay attention to a single one that I'm saying, yeah, I just call it a day. I'll just be like, you are right, you are right, you are right. Goodbye. So, Namibia rules could come as a surprise in a country ranked as a top 10 world agenda for gender for parity in 2022 World Economic Forum. Blah blah blah. Now, conservative views persist in what is largely Christian nation. So. We are mostly having this discussion from a religious point of view. And then again, a world chapter 3 gives us a freedom of speech. So it's very easy to say what you're saying is garbage, but well, chapter 3 protects my garbage. Thank you. Have a good one. You gotta love the Namibian constitution. Now, each person is designed by God to be born. Windhoek-based pastor said that the sidelines of parliamentary committee hearing on the sidelines of a parliamentary committee hearing on abortion. So you have this. Okay. Oh dear. I only have 9 minutes left and all my devices are complaining that they need to be charged. So, wrap it up. More often, again, now, where are we? Abortion is not illegal. it is very much legal in Namibia. It's just the conditions you have to meet to access the medical procedure. Those are the ones that are somewhat very considered by the, you know, those ones that, want to, you know, to see the addition, more than, like the expansion of Section 3 to, to include unwanted pregnancies. Considered somewhat very stringent in a way that it's sidelining them, and according to the argument they make, it's it's leading to a large number of baby dumping. And again, the misinformation here, and I'm so glad my very wonderful people at Legal Assistance Center pointed that out, that miscarriage also for, you know, it seems like, it may seem, to those of us that are not medically, well, inclined in terms of, academics, that miscarriage is also described as abortion, albeit is, you know, it's more out of hand of the medical profession or the poor woman carrying the pregnancy. When you read abortion statistics, you have to understand abortion has a wide definition. There's a natural one that you can't control. It's called miscarriage. But, then there's a one that you can control. It's called induced. Thanks to the World Economic Forum, I would not have known that. And you, Lizzie. Okay, now, moving on. So, you have all this, all these technical, technical, classifications. Although it's not, most of us, I think, or all of us are aware that, the call to amend Namibia's abortion law that is more often, brought about, or more that we keep hearing more often is one of the expansion in terms of accessibility of section 3. So, in a nutshell, to wrap it up, where's my Lizzie, I'll need a new battery for my tab. Thank you. Relax. So we're here. So to wrap it up, you have three definitions here. So the Ivy League Yale defines defines abortion somewhat similar to how the World Health Organization, not the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization defines it. Now the thing is. Yale definition. Abortion is the termination of a pregnancy before the fetus can survive outside the fetus. And I went through the whole tit for tat between the medical and the legal world over why they can't agree on where life begins. And my take is that the legal guys are scared to shift the golf post. From the birth, from the delivery room, into, 3, 4, 5 months straight down to conception or straight down to how I can have your number. That would be. Because if we have to define it that way, then we are going, I think the fear is, the fear of going down the rabbit hole or being on a slippery slope a fetus is alive legally. Okay, now we're just going to adopt the biological definition of what life is. Okay, a fetus is alive, which biologically it is. Legally, we're not there yet. If we're going to adopt that definition, then, let's push it much further. What is alive? Well, a sperm cell is alive, which it is biologically. It's a sperm cell. It's a cell. As for a cell to move, multiply, and carry out all a bunch of instructions it carries out, it must be alive. Therefore, the egg is also alive. Right. Okay. So, why do we do this? The next thing you know, you only have 2 minutes to take a shower. Anyway, beyond that, then we are going to suspect that you are doing something that, can be classified as a crime in there. please let's not go there. Yeah, so, but, yeah, now, but then, yeah, but the Namibian, now, the Namibian legislation on the topic defines abortion. That's Abortion and Sterilization Act 2 of 1975. It's even labeled RSA, aka Republic of South Africa. The act defines abortion as the abortion. That's one boring definition just from the beginning. The rest is just interesting to read. The abortion of a live fetus of a woman with intent to kill such fetus. That definition, believe me, if there's an amendment coming to this act, that definition will be the first to go. Now, to wrap it up, are we going to agree on anything as, on anything unanimously, like, this is how everything is going to go? No. No. That doesn't happen in politics. That doesn't happen in religion. It doesn't happen in politics either. I'm saying it doesn't happen in religion because if you look at how many, religious groups are out there, and in each religious group, you have a bunch of denominations. And all these are telling you that, well, I also read Peter chapter 2, but, 2 Peter chapter 2, but, well, this is what it says. We can all read that this is what it says, but you interpret it that way, which is why you dance in church, and you interpret it this way, which is why we start snoring. We just give one prayer and call it a day. So, open to interpretation. All this, if you can look at it in very some interesting religious ways, has taken us down to God created man and gave us free will. And boy, are we abusing it. Now, despite your cultural, your cultural point of view, your religious belief, or whatever your take on the subject is, it's important to have this discussion on a technical level, not on how I feel. Please, for the love of God, don't be that dumb. Don't be lazy to think. Don't be lazy to read. So, most of the pro-abortion change, legal amendment, proponents, what they're calling for is the change of a legal legislation. But interesting enough, most of the debates opposing it is coming outside the legal area. It's coming out of the religious setting. And at the same time, we have a separation of church and state. Now, at this point, Elizabeth, I'm more confused than I was yesterday, thanks to you. Dear wife, wherever you are in trouble, especially when it comes to how long someone can take it, can talk. It turns out your future husband here can talk for 3 hours. Elizabeth, thank you very much for ruining my future marriage. With that, let's call it a night. And see you again tomorrow. Where we're going to be, starting, I'm told I have to come here and start with once upon a time. I'm just following instruction. Thanks, Lizzie. With that, we call it a night. Y'all have, if you're still awake and still listening, much respect. If you fell asleep while listening, thank you very much. Thank you for that compliment. Till tomorrow, that's for home run and again here, but, I'm told that tomorrow we're gonna be starting at, 10, not 9, because we have a universal church program. So I'm gonna be here somewhere around, 9:45 maybe. I don't know. I'm gonna have to cook. I didn't today. Yes, I didn't want to go home because I knew that if I go home and then I'll be like, let me just take a nap. I just wake up the next day with 50 missed calls. 49 of them from Elizabeth. That brings us to the end of Pulling Heartstrings for today, for tonight, until tomorrow, until today, same time, same place. You'll have a blessed evening. You'll have a blessed night. I'm new at these guys. Yeah. I already got my compliment. You are killing it. Good night.